everyone, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is episode 66. Your host today, Marty Jones, very capably edited and produced by Owen Woods. And our guests today are Angela Lee and Wes O'Rourke from the SLV Climbers Alliance. And we have a special guest, Skylar, also. But Skylar is not able to verbalize quite yet. He's only 5 weeks old. So if you hear some sounds that you're not used to during this podcast, that's the reason why. We want to be sure to thank Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. So Angela Lee and Wes O'Rourke from the SLV Climbers Alliance, and they're here to talk about climbing and particularly about the soon-to-come-up True Penitence Climbing Festival. So welcome and thanks a lot for being on the Outdoor Citizen.
And thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're really excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourselves, brief bio, and then we'll get started on the festival itself.
Yeah, my name is Wes O'Rourke. I grew up in South Fork since 1998. Kind of a hometown hero on that side of the valley, and moved back here after going to college at CSU in 2013, moved back to the San Luis Valley, and had discovered rock climbing in college. So when I moved back here, just kind of got back into the sport, started exploring the amazing climbing resources we have here in the San Luis Valley. I'm also the founder and owner of Soul Mountain Farm. We're an organic farm and landscaping service. Yeah, met Angela in 2017.
That's about when I entered the San Luis Valley scene myself, around 2017. Wes and I were kind of both in the throes of climbing obsession. So we actually met down in the Rio Grande Gorge down in Taos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was out climbing, of course, and he kind of brought me up to the valley here, and I discovered the wealth of rock that the area has to offer. And kind of fell in love with the place, fell in love with the man, and have not left since. And yeah, we are the founders of the Climbing Alliance. And yeah, a lot of what we do, what we've done so far as a couple in the events and organizing has kind of been sparked from climbing. So we have a lot to thank for that.
And tell us a little bit about the SLV Climbers Alliance.
Yeah, so the SLV Climbers Alliance is a nonprofit organization. We're 501c3. It all started as an idea back in 2018. Like I said, Wes and I are now fully a couple, and we're kind of still really in the throes of the rock climbing obsession, just exploring a lot of these kind of untouched older climbing areas of the valley. You know, we have Penitente Canyon, which is kind of our famous, more recreated spot, but there's all these hidden gems inside canyons out there that haven't really been visited too often, especially back then. So we started exploring more of those places, noticed that we were kind of the only climbers out there often. And another big thing we noticed was that the hardware that we rely on for our safety was a little bit sketchy, to say the least. So we're like, wow, this is a really cool new rock climb we've never done, but it looks a little dangerous for us to get on because it's very obviously rusted or pieces are missing, things are spinning. And so we just kind of started thinking from there, like what happens in these scenarios when these climbs become outdated? Oh, usually there's a local climbing organization that handles this kind of stuff. Well, we look around and there isn't such a thing here in the valley just yet. And at the time we were really kind of doing our history and our research too, and learned of, you know, people like Bob D'Antonio, other older pioneers from back in the late 80s and 90s of the area who helped develop the area, and somehow got in touch with them through Facebook and stuff. And they became our good friends. Now they're still our mentors. And at the time they're like, you guys need to do something about that. And so just from observing those needs around the valley, we were like, well, we we're pretty good at bringing people together as it is. We're pretty good at throwing events. Let's do this thing. And Wes and I just started it from there.
So did the True Penitence start before the Climbers Alliance started?
No, the organization was formed in 2019. And a few years later, we did our first Climbers Fest. And I just wanted to add, as far as the formation of the San Luis Valley Climbers Alliance, another big thing was we were friends with a bunch of fragmented pieces of the community. So there was people bouldering, there was some people trad climbing, there was some people sport climbing, there was the younger generation, the older generation, and we were kind of the link between them in a way where we knew all these people, but they weren't connected. So I think that was a big part of the organization, was like, hey, we need to have a central group, a central community where people can come together and rock climb here in the San Luis Valley. So that was a big part of it, was the community.
In the Climbers Alliance, are the members primarily from the San Luis Valley, or do you have some members who live outside the valley?
A little bit of both. You know, that we've got a good local scene. We also have a lot of climbers from Durango, Gunnison, New Mexico, Front Range. Yeah, it's a diverse group of people.
Yeah, within the organization, our board, who, you know, who make the calls, who actually show up to make things happen for the organization, they're all at one point or another have lived in the San Luis Valley. We have one board member, Alex, for example, who just really is passionate about our cause, about the climbing festival. He was in here living in the valley for some time, but he moved to Durango a couple years ago, and he's still very impassionately a board member and involved. And like Wes mentioned, I think we have, you know, just beyond the official board members, I mean, the Climbers Fest, for example, is a completely volunteer-led event. So our kind of the people who run and are a part of the organization in some way is so regional in the places that Wes mentioned, all the way north to Denver, south to Albuquerque, to the west and Durango and all that. So we're really lucky to have such a wide group who have all experienced the beautiful climbing in the valley and are like, hey, this is like an awesome thing you guys going on. I want to be involved. So we have a really big region, I feel.
Yeah, cool. So let's talk about the festival that's coming up. What are the dates for True Penitence?
October 3rd.
4th and 5th. So it's a 3-day event. We get going on Friday, October 3rd. We start off in the canyon in the evening after everyone gets sorted in their campsites. We have a really fun slideshow with Bob D'Antonio, who is the local pioneer of the area, go through some old climbing pictures, go through some of the history, and followed by a film showing. Saturday is kind of the big day. We do the climbing competition where everyone climbs all day in their costumes. It's a really fun vibe, and it's all followed by a really cool raffle event. The podium is always pretty legendary with Wes as the MC.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He's got a good voice for it, you know.
It's good times. Good times on the award ceremony. And then we have a big fire and live DJ dance party.
And it's really cool because it is an off-grid location. So we just bring all the infrastructure for the event, the sense of place and scene in the middle of the rocks, to bring all of our solar powered lights and sound equipment to just dance the night away out there. It's pretty special. Oh, and then Sunday, of course, we also have some wind down. We're doing a sound bath on Sunday with a local climber, Julia. It's a whole 3-day excursion.
Now, do folks need to register in advance for True Penitence, or can they register on site on the 3rd?
Yes, so you will. You can buy tickets online in advance of the event. Tickets will actually be going on sale by the end of this week. And there's different options to go for the full 3 weeks or 3 days or a portion of it. There will also be a volunteer sign up that goes live along with the ticket sales, which is all on our website, slvclimb.org. That's how this whole festival happens. We have something close to 20, 30 plus volunteers who sign up for various shifts. Volunteer signups get you free entry to the event, and you kind of get that camaraderie of like, hey, I helped throw this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely recommend getting your tickets in advance so we can plan on how many people are going to be there. You can get a ticket at the gate, like cash only, but we prefer the early bird signups.
Oh, yeah. I remember I'm involved with a bicycling event that's a fundraiser for Habitat for Humanity, and we really try hard to get people to sign up in advance. Mm-hmm. So that we know how many people to plan for, how many sandwiches to get for lunch and things of that sort. Latecomers, it's always, we don't turn anybody away like you guys, but advance, getting things in advance is much appreciated.
100%. That's why we, in fact, don't really advertise that we do even take tickets at the door.
Yeah, I don't want to discourage anyone if someone's just like, I don't do internet. I'm just going to show up. It's like, well, all right, dude.
Bring your cash. I'm just going to climb.
Cash only.
Yeah. So how many climbers have you had in the past who actually participate in the competition?
Competition, about 40 to 50 people.
Oh, that's a good number.
The whole event is about 150 people, including the volunteers and other spectators. But signing up for the comp, yeah, about 40.
And how do you judge the competition?
So the competition, there's multiple categories. And one of the main categories is, or the main format is your best six climbs. So the climbs are, they have a number point associated with them, depending on how difficult they are. And it's your best six climbs. And we have all the different categories, beginner, intermediate, advanced, and elite. So no matter what your climbing level is, you can compete against your peers. And then we also have a category for the most climbs that you can do in a day. So as many climbs as you can do, called the true penitent, for those who are sick and twisted, try to climb a million routes. And then we also have a trad category, which traditional climbing is where you place your own protection in the rock using cams and other climbing devices. So instead of sport climbing, there's fixed hardware where you clip into this hanger, bolt hanger. And trad is just a rock that you climb, and you have to protect yourself with the gear. And Penitente is, you know, known as a sport climbing destination, but there are some really awesome trad climbs. So we do have a category for anyone who wants to trad climb. Huh? Oh, one more category, the top rope hero. So top rope hero is top roping. So you have someone else lead the climb and then you follow. And that's a fun one for anyone who's looking to top rope.
And that's a great setup for a team of two to play, because you always have have a belayer, and oftentimes you have to clean up the route that you put on. So you have one leader doing one of the graded categories and then another sign up for a different one. And like Wes said, there's so many categories that we have it pretty inclusive for all levels of climbers.
Yeah. So you mentioned that in one of the categories it's your best six climbs. How do you define best? Is it form, or is it speed, or is it what is it?
Oh, well, what I meant by that was just your six highest scores. But what it is you have to lead the climb clean. So that means climbing under your own power without hanging on the rope, without falling. So you have to climb it clean. You got to climb from the top to the chains without using any sort of aid or.
In the climbing world, we would call it ascend. So you have to send the climb, which means no falls, no hangs, no mishaps, really.
So is there someone down below watching each climber to ensure that there are no hangs?
We have a thing where you have to get a signature of a witness.
Okay.
But it's
So it's kind of like in 3-on-3 basketball, call your own fouls and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Call your own fouls. Yeah. Yeah, we trust everyone's, it's a pretty solid community. No one's really cheating. So,
so you said 150 people, 40 or 50 in the competition. How does that compare to previous years? Are you expecting more people to come this year?
It's been interesting. All well, this is the fifth annual now, and I feel like
That's great.
Yeah, and even since the first year, somehow we managed to just hit a pretty similar number cap as far as attendees go. We usually have about 150 people, and 40 or so competitors. We'd love to see some more competition for sure. I do know that there's a new local rock climbing team here in the valley. The Cliffhanger is a very fresh rock climbing team of the San Luis Valley, and I'm actually just about to invite them all to attend and compete for free, just so we can support the local.
Oh, that's climbers. Really good. Yeah, and they're all young folks.
Exactly. So
high school, maybe college.
We're also hoping that we might have a few more people this year because there's been a competing rock climbing festival that happens in Shelf Road, and last year was on the same weekend. And it's a little more corporate, and they gave it up since they're not doing it. So this grassroots festival is going to be one of the only ones in Colorado this season. So hoping that folks come down.
So how are you getting the word out besides this podcast?
Have a really awesome flyer that has been circulating around, not just here, but throughout the region. Like I said, the regional homies who are part of the organization in one way or another are helping flyer at all the gyms in Denver, all the gyms in Albuquerque, Durango, stuff like that. And online, social media for sure.
Yeah, cool. And where do people come from besides the valley to attend this festival?
We get a lot of people from Durango, Gunnison, New Mexico, the Front Range. I think we even have, how far did that guy come from?
East Coast, Michigan. Yeah. There's like a Michigan attendee.
Oh, wow.
He's a big fan of it was the first year, I think, the furthest traveled guy for sure, because he really loved the DJ that we had booked, Tone Ranger from Taos. In Santa Fe, yeah, he came to see him and climb.
And wow.
Then he ended up, he was so inspired, he ended up getting married there last season. Yeah. In the canyon.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Do you ever get anybody from West Texas? You know, down in the El Paso area, there's a really popular climbing spot called the Waco Tanks.
Yes. We have good friends from down there in Waco Tanks, and we do get a big group of people coming up from El Paso. So yeah,
excellent. That's good.
We got some other Texas buddies out in Austin too. So yeah, we get a decent amount of people coming from West Texas, and I'm always kind of reminding everyone that yes, our priority is locals and the local climbing, but this is a lot bigger than just, you know, those of us who live here, because it is a regional community, and the rock climbing community is a very regional thing. And we strive to be that, you know, force that can bring people together and be like a rallying point for the community. So I think it is really cool that we're doing this and that people can travel from the whole region and meet here in the San Luis Valley for like an awesome weekend of climbing.
Yeah, that sense of community is so important to us, and it just shows up in such a way at the weekend, because, you know, even these visitors from Durango or the Texas folks, it's not just one or two climbers that come from there. It's their crew, you know. It's like, hey, me and my 10 homies climbers are going to come and represent, you know, and that's a really fun vibe.
Yeah, nice.
We've definitely kind of excelled at networking, I guess. So like you asked about advertising, and it is like, you know, word of mouth, but it's like, yeah, we got homies at the gym in El Paso. We're sending flyers. We got the homies in Durango that are putting up the flyers. We got the Denver crew. We got the Gunnison crew. So it's like, it's a little bit of word of mouth as well.
Yeah, that's excellent. And you indicated earlier, Wes, that this is one of the very few festivals that focuses on climbing, at least in Colorado this year. Going to get people to come.
Yeah, and like I said, we're proud that we're grassroots and that we maintain our, you know, independence from that, and we represent the people and not the brands and the big money that's in climbing. Obviously, we do love our brands and our sponsors and all that, but like, we are a nonprofit that is funded by the people for the people. And it's pretty special because a lot of other events you go to are kind of have this air to them where it's more like, I don't know, brands competing for your money and stuff. And like, ours is like, oh yeah, we love our brands and they've donated some stuff and everyone loves the gear and everyone loves the stuff. But it's like,
but at the end of the day, we're a nonprofit and the money that we raise through our tickets and all of our raffles goes through the cause of supporting San Luis Valley climbing and the local youth. So
yeah, that's excellent. I mean, the focus is on the climbing rather than the gear.
Yeah, focus is on the community.
Yeah, we're really excited this year because we are pretty close to launching a really awesome grant program. It's kind of like a grant scholarship program that's pretty much finalizing now, where we are going to donate to any local San Luis Valley school or class to go out on a free outdoor rock climbing guided trip. So we're working with a outdoor guide, Kurt Howell at Narrow Ridge. So he is going to get just, you know, we're going to just pay his costs to take out his outdoor trips, and any school grade teacher can just apply and be like, hey, I would like to take my kids out on a day. So, and we'll just pay for the cost, pay for some snacks, and it's going to be a really neat program.
Oh, that's really good. You know, since the school districts in the Valley are 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week, that means Fridays are available. As long as that fits into Kurt's schedule, then what a great activity for those students.
Exactly. Cause you know, we have only have so much capacity, but we've gotten to a point now, however many years since our founding, where we have some money to spend, which is so exciting. And we might not be able to ourselves take these kids out on the outdoor guided trips, but we're supporting a local small business, that guided company, and the local school. So we're really excited to launch that. And it's going to be a big focus when we raise funds during our raffle.
Well, any final thoughts about climbing or the True Penitence Climbing Festival that's coming up?
Yeah, I guess if you have, you know, if you're interested in getting into climbing, or you're an avid climber, or you have any sort of, you know, relationship to climbing, don't hesitate to reach out to us on our Instagram or website. Don't be intimidated to come out to the festival, no matter whether you've never climbed before or you're an elite climber. It's a very open, welcome place, very diverse and very welcoming environment. And we encourage anyone and everyone to come out. We'll even have kind of intro to climbing with the guide there. So if you've never climbed, you can get on. And even if you're not a climber, come out and watch people climbing. It's one of the best days of the year to come out and spectate. You got, you know, 50 people trying their hardest and it is quite the scene.
It's a life-changingly good time.
Yeah, great. And so that's the True Penitence Climbing Festival from October 3rd through 5th. So just like a month away from now. What is the website again for registration?
You can go ahead to slvclimb.org. That's where you can find the ticket sales. And I would highly recommend checking out the volunteer signups. You know, not only is it a free way to get into the festival all weekend, but, you know, just meeting other volunteers and getting that sense of like, hey, I'm helping throwing this thing on. It's just a really cool sense of accomplishment in joining the team. So,
and you'll also be able to find directions for how to get there if you've never been to Penitente before. Really cool.
I just want to give a shout out to our volunteer board, the whole board for SLVCA. Big shout out to those guys, and shout out to all the climbers and everyone who's put in the work over the years to help the org accomplish all of our goals.
Yeah, we have a load of sponsors this year. Our swag bags are going to be so stacked this year. It's the best one we've ever had. We have a new board member who just joined, and she just kicked butt getting things going with the donations. So our prizes are better than ever. We got helmets and backpacks, quick draws, giant coolers, all sorts of fun stuff to give away. So everyone's going to go home with something really rad.
Yeah, every single person that comes is going home with something.
Yeah, that's really nice. Well, we've been speaking with Angela Lee and Wes O'Rourke and Skyler, who's been pretty darn quiet during this whole thing. Any words from you, Skylar, before we cut off? A really good 5-week-old baby. So congratulations, by the way, and thanks for bringing Skylar, and thanks for coming in to share information about the Climbing Alliance and the True Penitence Climbing Festival. Again, go to slvclimb.org for more information.
SLV Climbers on Instagram, Facebook. Good way to stay in touch. Stay up to date.
Sounds good. All right. Next up, some outdoor conditions for September and a fall outlook. But first, a quick word from our sponsors.
Are you looking for funding to launch a community project, program, or event in Monta Vista? The Lore Foundation is here to help. Lore supports projects that are designed and led by locals like you. The best part? There are no complicated applications, time-consuming reports, or grant cycle deadlines. All it takes to start a funding request is a simple conversation. So reach out to Monta Vista Community Officer Yvette Atencio at lorefoundation.org today and take the first step towards turning your idea into a reality.
¿Estás buscando financiamiento para lanzar un proyecto, programa o evento comunitario en Monta Vista? La Fundación LOR, L-O-R, está aquí para ayudarte. LOR apoya proyectos que son diseñados y liderados por personas locales como tú. La mejor parte, no hay solicitudes complicadas, informes que consumen mucho tiempo, ni fechas límite de convocatorias. Todo lo que necesitas para iniciar una solicitud de financiamiento es una conversación sencilla. Así que, comunícate hoy mismo con la oficial comunitaria de Monta Vista, Yvette Atencio, en lorefoundation.org. LORFOUNDATION.ORG. Y da el primer paso para convertir tu idea en una realidad.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. Here's a few outdoor conditions for you. Fall colors will start appearing earlier this year due to ongoing drought throughout Colorado. Much of western Colorado is under drought conditions, with areas on the western slope under severe drought conditions. And on Labor Day, Owen, I was out on my bicycle. It was a great day for a ride. So on the 12 South, I took a picture of trees that were starting to change already here in the valley.
Man.
Yep. Yeah, that was not expected. According to NOAA, July of 2025 was the third hottest July on record, while global land surface temperatures in July were the seventh hottest on record. NOAA is also urging people to prepare in advance for an above-average Atlantic hurricane season. They're predicting a 50% chance of above-average storms. 2025 also marks 20 years since Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans. And, you know, I just saw a graphic the other day, Owen, about hurricane season. We're past halfway through the typical hurricane season. But in terms of storms, the bulk of the storms fall between September and November.
Yep.
So we may be halfway through in time, but we're not in terms of number of storms. And now for some news. The most recent wolf activity map released by Colorado Parks and Wildlife shows more wolf movement in the Rio Grande drainage. Mineral, Rio Grande, and Sawatch counties all saw GPS activity during the month of July. Although the map shows the presence of wolves within the watershed areas, that doesn't necessarily mean they are habitating in the area. Wolves are a prey-dependent species, meaning they follow prey. There are an estimated 30 wolves in Colorado, which does not include a count of pups born from newly established packs. There are at least 6 pups in the one-ear pack in Jackson County. The nearly two-week search for 47-year-old Russian climber Natalia Nagovetsnaya on Kyrgyzstan's 24,000-foot Genghis Chokusu was called off this past week after rescue officials found no signs of life with the aid of a thermal imaging drone. Nagovetsnaya was attempting to summit Genghis Chokusu, also known as Victory Peak, the highest mountain in the Tian Shan mountain range on the China-Kyrgyzstan border, when she fell and broke her leg. She was able to self-rescue and set up her tent at nearly 23,000 feet in elevation, where she endured wind and cold for 14 days. Multiple attempts to rescue her were unsuccessful due to dangerous weather conditions. An Italian climber, Luca Sinigaglia, died attempting to deliver supplies to her. A helicopter crashed and other search efforts were called off. The window to summit Genghis Chokusu is very short and provides climbers with only a limited time every year to scale the peak. Nagovetsnaya's husband Sergei died of a stroke in 2021 while climbing Khan Tengri, the highest peak in Kazakhstan. Nagovetsnaya made the news at the time for refusing to leave her husband on the mountain. In some fire-related news, two firefighters working to support suppression efforts of the Bear Gulch fire in Washington State were arrested by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents last week. The firefighters were a part of a group contracted by the Bureau of Land Management. Both men are being held at an ICE facility near Tacoma, Washington. Their names and causes for detention have not been released, but an attorney for one of the men arrested said he was awaiting a response on his visa application. He had come to the United States as a four-year-old, the attorney said. According to U.S. Representative Emily Randall, who represents the area where the fire is burning and the two men were detained by ICE, attempts to visit and contact the two men have been unsuccessful. She was denied entry into the ICE facility, but was able to confirm that they were being held there. A release from the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol last Thursday noted that the BLM had worked in close collaboration with ICE in order to terminate the two contracts for the companies working to support fire crews after a criminal investigation. Officials did not release any information on the nature of the investigation. ICE claims the men detained were here illegally and were not actively fighting the fire, but were working in active support roles. Randall said, quote, "What's really troubling to me this week is the unprecedented coordination between BLM and Border Patrol to raid an active response site. This 9,000-acre fire has yet to burn a home or kill anyone, but that's because of the incredible work of fire crews who are managing timber, who are cutting fire breaks to ensure that the fire doesn't spread into more populated areas." Unquote. On another fire, the Lee Fire, burning near the town of Meeker in Rio Blanco County, which is the fifth largest wildfire in Colorado history, is now nearly 100% contained after weeks of intense firefighting. The fire has burned more than 137,000 acres and forced the evacuation of more than 1,000 people in the area. The FDNY Incident Management Team assisted local teams with incident command. Crews will now be working on clearing debris and restoration work as the fire lines are contained and suppression efforts continue to clear the area. Now a look at some upcoming outdoor events. Celebrate the completion of the Outdoor Classroom and Recreation Enhancement Commemoration at Lobatos Bridge on September 26th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Years in the making, the project to increase user friendliness and educational opportunities at the historic site is fully realized. The Lobatos Iron Bridge is the southernmost bridge in Colorado that spans the Rio Grande. A place of great significance, you can find the bridge on County Road G in Costilla County. The fifth annual True Penitence Climbing Festival is October 3rd through 5th at Penitente Canyon. The annual climbing festival and competition is hosted by the SLV Climbers Alliance and put on every year when the sun hits the rock walls at Penitente just right. You can find more information on event details, how to sign up, how to volunteer, and what routes the competition will take on slvclimb.org. The San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council has a trifecta celebration planned for Saturday, November 8th. It's been 25 years since the passage of the Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve Act, 25 years since the creation of a category of public lands called National Conservation Lands, and 25 years of Ecosystem Council leadership by Christine Canale. Now that's a trifecta worth celebrating. The event on November 8th is from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Dunes Valley Distillery in Mosca, Colorado. Let SLV Ecosystem Council know you're coming by registering at the link in the SLV Outdoor Report on alamosacitizen.com. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is produced and edited by Owen Woods and published by alamosacitizen.com. You can listen to the show wherever you stream your podcasts. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share or topics you'd like to hear about in a future episode, send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. And until next time, this is Marty Jones saying take advantage of this great fall weather, late summer, early fall, I guess, and get outside, enjoy some activities. Thanks for listening and enjoy the out of doors.